ಗುರುಭ್ಯೋ ನಮಃ. ಹರಿಹಿ ಓಂ. ಸದಾಶಿವ ಸಮಾರಂಭಾಂ ಶಂಕರಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಮಧ್ಯಮಾಂ ಅಸ್ಮದಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಪರ್ಯಂತಾಂ ವಂದೇ ಗುರು ಪರಂಪರಾಂ ಸದ್ಗುರು ಚರಣಾರವಿಂದಾಭ್ಯಾಂ ನಮಃ. ಜಿಜ್ಞಾಸಾಧಿಕರಣಂ ಅಥಾಥೋ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮ ಜಿಜ್ಞಾಸಾ. ಜನ್ಮಾದ್ಯಧಿಕರಣಂ ಜನ್ಮಾದ್ಯಸ್ಯ ಯತಃ ಶಾಸ್ತ್ರಯೋನಿತ್ವಾಧಿಕರಣಂ ಶಾಸ್ತ್ರಯೋನಿತ್ವಾತ್ ಸಮನ್ವಯಾಧಿಕರಣಂ ತತ್ತು ಸಮನ್ವಯಾತ್. ಈಕ್ಷತ್ಯಧಿಕರಣಂ ಈಕ್ಷತೇನ ಶಬ್ದಂ ಗೌಣಶ್ಚೇನ್ನಾತ್ಮಶಬ್ದಾತ್ ತನ್ನಿಷ್ಟಸ್ಯ ಮೋಕ್ಷೋಪದೇಶಾತ್ ಹೇಯತ್ವ ಅವಚನಾಚ್ಚ ಸ್ವಾಪ್ಯಯಾತ್ ಗತಿಸಾಮಾನ್ಯಾತ್ ಶ್ರುತತ್ವಾಚ್ಚ. ಆನಂದಮಯಾಧಿಕರಣಂ ಆನಂದಮಯಃ ಅಭ್ಯಾಸಾತ್ ವಿಕಾರಶಬ್ದಾನ್ನೇತಿ ಚೇನ್ನ ಪ್ರಾಚುರ್ಯಾತ್ ತದ್ಧೇತು ವ್ಯಪದೇಶಾತ್ ಮಾತ್ರಾವರ್ಣಿಕಮೇವ ಚ ಗೀಯತೆ ನ ಇತರ ಅನುಪಪತ್ತೇಃ ವೇದವ್ಯಪದೇಶಾಚ್ಚ ಕಾಮಾಚನ ಅನುಮಾನಾಪೇಕ್ಷಾ ಅಸ್ಮಿನ್ನಸ್ಯ ಚ ತದ್ಯೋಗಂ ಶಾಸ್ತಿ. ಅಂತರಧಿಕರಣಂ ಅಂತಸ್ತದ್ಧರ್ಮೋಪದೇಶಾತ್ ವೇದವ್ಯಪದೇಶಾಚಾನ್ಯಃ. ಆಕಾಶಾಧಿಕರಣಂ ಆಕಾಶಸ್ಥಲ್ಲಿಂಗಾತ್ ಪ್ರಾಣಾಧಿಕರಣಂ ಅತಯೇವ ಪ್ರಾಣಃ. ಜ್ಯೋತಿಶ್ಚರಣಾಧಿಕರಣಂ ಜ್ಯೋತಿಶ್ಚರಣಾಭಿಧಾನಾತ್. ಸೊ ಇನ್ ಯೆಸ್ಟರ್ಡೇಸ್ ಕ್ಲಾಸ್ ವಿ ಸಾ ಹೌ ದ ಪೂರ್ವ ಪಕ್ಷಿ ಗೇವ್ 6 ರೀಸನ್ಸ್ ಇನ್ ಸಪೋರ್ಟ್ ಆಫ್ ಈಸ್ ಆರ್ಗ್ಯುಮೆಂಟ್ಸ್ against the interpretation of the word jyotihi as brahman, and Shankaracharya gives his arguments negating the views of purvapakshi. Number 1, the first objection of purvapakshi was prasiddhihi. The word light is well known, prasiddham, as external visible light alone. And how can one sacrifice this primary meaning? That is his question. For which Acharya gives two answers. One is, the primary meaning should be sacrificed if more factors favor secondary meaning. Here we show that secondary meaning alone is supported because the Upanishad itself talks of sarvatmakatvam charana abhidhanate. ಸರ್ವಾತ್ಮಕತ್ವ ಅಭಿಧಾನಾತ್. ವಿ ಆಲ್ರೆಡಿ ಸಾ ದಟ್ ಸೂತ್ರ. ತಾವಾನಸ್ಯ ಮಹಿಮಾ ಅಥೋ ಜಾಯಾಗಸ್ಯ ಪುರುಷ ಪಾದೋಸ್ಯ ಸರ್ವಭೂತಾನಿ ತ್ರಿಪಾದಸ್ಯ ಮೃತಂ ದಿವಿ ದಿವಿ ದಟ್ ಇಸ್ ಜ್ಯೋತಿ. ಸೊ ವಿ ಆರ್ ಟಾಕಿಂಗ್ ಅಬೌಟ್ ಎ ಜ್ಯೋತಿ ವಿಚ್ ಪರ್ವೇಸ್ ದ ಹೋಲ್ ಯೂನಿವರ್ಸ್ ಅಂಡ್ ದ ಬಿಯಾಂಡ್ ದ ಯೂನಿವರ್ಸ್ ಆಲ್ಸೋ. ಅಂಡ್ ದಿಸ್ ಇಸ್ ಪಾಸಿಬಲ್ ಓನ್ಲಿ ಫಾರ್ ಕಾರಣ ಜ್ಯೋತಿ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮ ಅಂಡ್ ನೆವರ್ ಫಾರ್ ಕಾರ್ಯ ಜ್ಯೋತಿ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮ. ದರ್ಫೋರ್ ಪ್ರೈಮರಿ ಮೀನಿಂಗ್ ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ಬಿ ಗಿವನ್ ಅಪ್. ದಿಸ್ ಈಸ್ ಆನ್ಸರ್ ಒನ್. ಅಂಡ್ ದ ಸೆಕೆಂಡ್ ಆನ್ಸರ್ ಆಚಾರ್ಯ ಗಿವ್ಸ್ ಇಸ್ ದ ವರ್ಡ್ ಜ್ಯೋತಿ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ದ ಮೀನಿಂಗ್ ಆಫ್ ಕಾನ್ಶಿಯಸ್ನೆಸ್ ಇಟ್ ಸೆಲ್ಫ್ ಇನ್ ದಿ ಪ್ರೈಮರಿ ಸೆನ್ಸ್ ಇಟ್ ಸೆಲ್ಫ್. ದ ಓನ್ಲಿ ಡಿಫರೆನ್ಸ್ ಇಸ್ ದಿಸ್ ಮೀನಿಂಗ್ ಈಸ್ ನಾಟ್ ಲೋಕ ಪ್ರಸಿದ್ಧ. ದಿಸ್ ಈಸ್ ನಾಟ್ ಲೇ ಮ್ಯಾನ್ಸ್ ಲ್ಯಾಂಗ್ವೇಜ್ ಬಟ್ ದಿಸ್ ಮೀನಿಂಗ್ ಈಸ್ ಶಾಸ್ತ್ರ ಪ್ರಸಿದ್ಧ. ಇಟ್ ಇಸ್ ಗಿವನ್ ಇನ್ ದ ಶಾಸ್ತ್ರ ಸೋ ಮಚ್. Because in the Upanishads, the expression jyotihi is very common to indicate consciousness. We have already seen these quotations from Mundaka Upanishad. Hiranmaye pare koshe virajam brahma nishkalam tachubram jyotisham jyotihi tatyadatma vidho viduhu. And again in the same Upanishad, in another section later, avihi sannihitam guhacharam nama ಮಹತ್ ಪದಂ ಅತ್ರೈತತ್ ಸಮರ್ಪಿತಂ. ಅಂಡ್ ಎಗೇನ್ ಇನ್ ಅನದರ್ ಪ್ಲೇಸ್ ನತತ್ರ ಸೂರ್ಯೋ ಭಾತಿ ನ ಚಂದ್ರ ತಾರಕಂ ನೇಮಾ ವಿದ್ಯುತೋ ಭಾಂತಿ ಕುತೋಯಂ ಅಗ್ನಿಃ ತಮೇವ ಭಾಂತಂ ಅನುಭಾತಿ ಸರ್ವಂ ತಸ್ಯ ಭಾಸಾ ಸರ್ವಮಿದಂ ವಿಭಾತಿ. ದರ್ಫೋರ್ ದಿ ಎಕ್ಸ್ಪ್ರೆಷನ್ ಲೈಟ್ ಈಸ್ ವೆರಿ ಮಚ್ ಯೂಸ್ ಫಾರ್ ಕಾನ್ಶಿಯಸ್ನೆಸ್ ಅಂಡ್ ದರ್ ಇಸ್ ನಥಿಂಗ್ ರಾಂಗ್ ಇನ್ ದಟ್ ಯೂಸೇಜ್ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ಲೈಟ್ ಈಸ್ ದಟ್ ಇನ್ ಹೂಸ್ ಪ್ರೆಸೆನ್ಸ್ things become evident, and the ultimate light is consciousness alone, because in the presence of consciousness alone Shabda, Sparsham, Rupa, Rasa, Gandha, all those, anything and everything, they become evident. Therefore, Jyoti is as consciousness, that is the primary meaning as given in the Shastras itself. Therefore, Jyoti hi Brahma. And what is the second objection of Purvapakshi? He said, Deepyate. There is another word, Deepyate. Here also we give the same argument. The Upanishad uses the word shining. Deepyate means shining. For consciousness also as shining in several places. Therefore, it is Shastra Prasiddha Artha only. We are not sacrificing any meaning and at all. And what is the example we give? Tameva Bhantam Anubhadi Sarvam. We just now saw that. And in Kaivalya Upanishad also, Jagnat Swapna Sushuptyadi Prapancham Yat Prakashate. In Kaivalya Upanishad. Therefore, the word Prakasha, Bhati, all those words, they are used for consciousness. And therefore, there is nothing wrong in such a meaning for Jyoti. And in Bhagavad Gita itself, in the 13th chapter, Krishna says, Jyoti Shamapi Tad Jyotihi Tamasa Paramuchyate Jnanam Jnayam Jnanagamyam Hridi Sarvasya Vishtitam. Therefore, the second objection also is not a sound objection. So Jyotihi is consciousness, Brahma alone. And the third objection was Maryada Vashanath. The boundary, Maryada is the boundary that has been placed, and how can Brahma have boundary? For which again Shankaracharya says, this section deals with Saguna Brahma Upasana, Ishvara Upasana, no Nirgunam Brahma. No doubt, Ishvara is all pervading, but still we can talk of limitation of Ishvara for the convenience of what? For the convenience of Upasana, Upasanartham Maryada. Because this is Saguna Brahma Upasana. Just like we confine Ishvara where? To an idol, to a picture in a limited temple or in a puja room. Therefore, upasanartham parichedaha doshaha na bhavati. There is no dosha of limitation for the sake of upasana. Maryada vachanat is not a dosha at all because it is consciously imposed for the purpose of upasana. And the fourth objection the Purvapakshi gave us, Adhara Vachanat. How can you locate Brahma or Ishvara in one place? That was his question. We discussed all these questions yesterday in detail. I am only enumerating the questions to refute and give the answers. For this also, the same answer, Upasanartham. Adhara Hadosha Na Bhavati. In daily puja itself, what do we say? Asmin Haridra Bimbe Sumukam Mahaganapatim Dhyayami. In the small Haridra Bimbam, you have a huge Mahaganapati invoked. Avahayami, and do all the pujas to that. So all this is done for the purpose of puja or for the purpose of upasana only. And the fifth objection is, Ishvara is visualized as Sharira Jyotihi, warmth of the body. Yesterday I told you, the warmth of the body, which is what? Karya Jyotihi. So the Purvapakshi's argument was, if the alambanam, the symbol, is Karya Jyoti, then the upasyam also should be karyam only. He brings that rule. If the alambanam, if the symbol, if the indicator is Jyotihi, then it is Karya Jyoti, it is an effect, then upasyam also should be karyam and not karanam. Therefore, alambanam, the symbol, is jadam. The upasyam also must be jadam. That is the view of the Purvapakshi. For that, what do we say? There is no such rule at all. If there is such a rule, the jada alambanam should serve only for jada vastu only. Then we cannot do any puja or upasana at all. It is because upasyam is invisible. Upasya devata is invisible. And we need visible symbol to do upasana. In fact, most of the Vedic upasanas are upon a jadastu alone. Why? Because alambanam should be visible because upasyam is invisible. You cannot do upasana of an invisible vastu. So you need a visible vastu to do the upasana. Therefore, upasana visible means not just only physically, it could be something which we should be able to relate to. Therefore, upasana of invisible devatas require visible alambanams. And all visible alambanams are the worldly objects only, which are what? Which are jadavastus. Therefore, there is no such rule at all. Actually, in Vibhuti Yoga, Krishna himself asks us to meditate upon him on various worldly objects only. On Ganga, on Himalayas, on Agni, so many things. They are all jadam. Yet we use them as alambanam to invoke the law. Therefore, alambana upasyayoho atyanta sarupyam na apekshikam. Apekshitam. No such requirement at all. And the sixth and the final argument is palam is parichinnaha. Therefore, devata also must be parichinnaha. That is the argument. So if Ishvara were the upasyam, palam must be aparichinna moksha. Because palam is what? Aparichinnam is limited. Aparichinna moksha is unlimited. And Shankaracharya negates, asking the Purva Paksha as to who gave such a rule. A limited devata cannot give limitless result, that we accept. If a devata is a limited devata, it cannot give limitless results like moksha. So parichinna devata can give only parichinna phala. But Ishvara can give both limited as well as limitless phalam. Ishvara can do. A parichinna devata like Aditya or Agni devata, they cannot give aparimita phalam, aparichinna phalam, whereas Ishvara can give both limited and unlimited phalam. For example, if a person has got only $10, he can give donation maximum only $10. Whereas somebody got $100, he can give anything up to $100. So many things he can give. He can give $100 or anything else under $100 or equivalent to that. Similarly, for Ishvara, who can give moksha, he can give dharma, artha and kama also. So as the Lord said in Bhagavad Gita, yo yo yam yam tanum bhaktaham shraddha yarchitim icchatim tasya tasya chalam shraddham tameva vidadam yaham. Sataya shraddhaya yuktaham tasya radhana vihitem labadecha tatak kaman mayeva vihitan hitan. I can give moksha also. I can give also dharma artha kama also. That is why at the end of Vishnu Sahasranama, what do we pray? In the Parasuri, what do we say? Dharmartim prapuniyat dharma. Somebody wants dharma, he will get dharma. Artharti chartamapuniyat. Artharti, he will get artha. Kamanavapuniyat kami. If somebody desires something, he will get that. Prajarti prapuniyat prajaha. Person wants only prajas, he will get that also. So you can go to Ishvara and seek material benefits as also beauty, so many things. There is nothing wrong if palam is limited, parichinna palam. Therefore, all Purupakshi's objections, they are all answered by Acharya. Tasmat jyotihi brahma. Because of what? Charana abhidhanat. What jyotihi? Gayatri abhinnam jyotihi brahma. We should not forget that context, because the Gayatri of the 12th section of Chandogya, 3rd chapter. That Gayatri is Brahman. And this Jyotihi of the 13th section, that is Gayatri Abhinnam Jyotihi, also Brahma. It's not different from Gayatri. So, Kutra Charanabhidhanat, Purva Prakarane Charanabhidhanat. That's what we already said, 12th section itself. With this, the 24th Sutra is also over. Now we will go to the 25th sutra. Still in the same Adhikaranam. The topic is still same. We should remember that. And the next sutra is a long sutra. Chandobidhanat neti chet na tata chetorpana negadat tatahi darshana. This is one sutra. It violates all our norms of sutras. Because while defining sutra, what did we say? Among various characteristics, the first one is what? Alpaksharam, alpaksharam asandigdam saravat vishvatomukham asthobham anavadyancha sutram sutra vidho viduho. We gave the definition of sutra and should have alpaksharam, minimum number of words, letters. Now we read a big line. So it should be a Pythi statement, short statement. So even though this condition is followed, there are occasions when the sutra becomes longer. But they are all exceptional sutras. It is not a rule, it is exception. Now, the general analysis we have to do on this sutra, the long sutra. And the topic is the same, we should understand, because it is part of the same Adhikaranam. One Adhikaranam talks about one topic. And in the 13th section of Chandogya, chapter 3, Jyotihi, the light, is Brahman that we saw. And in the previous sutra, we established the Jyotihi of the 13th section is Brahman only, we just now did also. And to prove that, we went back to the 12th section, the Gayatri Upasana, where we established that Brahma Upasana alone was said in the name of Gayatri, which alone overflows into the 13th section from 12th section. Therefore, our main argument was Brahma Upasana is talked about in the previous section, namely 12th section. And from that, we come to this section, 13th section of Chandogya, third chapter. We should not forget the context. Now, Purvapakshi says, he does not accept this argument at all. He says, just because in the previous section, Brahma Upasana was talked about, and that is continued here, and hence this sutra also talks about Brahma Upasana, that I won't accept. Because his argument, Purvapakshi's argument is what? Even in taking in the previous section, Brahma Upasana is not talked about. He even objects to that. What was said in the previous section was what? Was only Gayatri Upasana. Why do you take it as Brahma Upasana? And our answer to that was what? Okay, Gayatri Upasana was said, that is correct. But Gayatri is Brahman, we established it. Therefore, Gayatri Upasana is equal to Brahma Upasana, and that is continued here in this section. And further, Purvapakshi says, who said Gayatri is Brahman? Again, he goes back to the same thing, because it is primarily known as a Vedic meter. You misinterpret it as a Brahman. The well-known meaning of the word Gayatri is Chandaha. Therefore, he says, Chanda Abhidhanat, in the previous section, Gayatri Chandaha alone was talked about and not Brahman. Then our argument is what? Yes, no doubt, Gayatri has got the primary meaning that it is Vedic meter, Vachyartha or Mukhyartha or Prasiddhartha, we can say that also. But we say Gayatri has got a Lakshyartha, also an implied meaning. The secondary meaning of Gayatri is Brahman. Therefore, Gayatri Upasana is not meter Upasana, but Brahma Upasana. Meter is primary meaning, that is true, and Brahman is the secondary meaning. We don't take primary meaning here. We take only the secondary meaning. That is our answer. For which again he argues, when primary meaning and secondary meanings are there, which is powerful? Primary means primary, secondary means secondary only. How can you give up primary meaning of Vedic meter and take the secondary meaning of Brahma here? When primary meaning is powerful, why are you taking the secondary meaning? Because everybody understands primary meaning of meter only. Our answer is what? Again, primary meaning can be given up if it is unfitting to the context. If primary meaning does not fit in the context, we can take the secondary meaning. Many times when we analyze all these things, you have to use yukti, so many other things. So in the Upanishads, there are lakshanas, various lakshanas. I don't know whether in some discussion of Upanishad I might have mentioned this. There is lakshana, Jagal Lakshana, Ajagal Lakshana, Jagat Ajagal Lakshana, so many Lakshanas are there. And in this context, that is not our topic, but we want to only say that those things exist. When we interpret all those things, we bring it to work. So in this context, what we find is the primary meaning does not fit in, and therefore we are forced to take the secondary meaning. And how do we do that? The Upanishad says in the 12th section, Gayatri va idagum sarvam. Gayatri is everything. Gayatri is infinite. Gayatri is anantam. Gayatri is sarvatmakam. Gayatri is sarva adhishtanam. Gayatri is sarva karanam. All that we established. And Gayatri pervades everything. Now, if you take the primary meaning of Gayatri, what it says, it is a Vedic meter. with 24 letters and 3 lines, as it is said in the Mahanarayana Upanishad, Chaturvigum Satyaksharam Tripada Shatkukshihi. There are only 24 letters and 3 lines. Gayatri does not occupy even one page if you write. And this finite limited meter is the primary meaning. Then if we take this primary meaning, Vedic meter va idagam sarvam, if you want to write it that way, instead of Gayatri va idagam sarvam, if you say Vedic meter va idagam sarvam, it won't fit at all. And so we go for the secondary meaning. Sangharacharya says in mantra, there is Vakya Vritti. There is another beautiful text. Vakya Vritti, I don't know when we will ever see any of those. There is a sloka there, Acharya says, Manantara virodhetu mukhyarthasya parigrahe mukhyarthe na vina bhute pratitir lakshanochyate. Primary meaning should be given primary place. That means we should apply the primary meaning in a sentence. Do not take secondary meaning first. If it does not fit, then only the secondary meaning should be taken. Similarly, here we are forced to take only the secondary meaning. What is that? In place of Gayatri Vedic meter, can we take another Vedic meter? Same problem. It cannot also Anushtup, Trishtup, they are all Vedic meters. You cannot fit any of them for what? Idagum Sarvam. That definition, none of them will fit. Suppose we take Surya, otherwise Chandra, Nakshatra, or any presiding deity. Same problem also. Any presiding deity presides over one aspect of creation. Surya Devata presides only what? The Chakshurindriyam, eyesight. Dig Devata presides over the Shrotrendriyam. So no Devata can be taken for everything. Therefore, we are forced to take only Karanam Brahman or Maya Sakitam Brahman. Then only Brahma Iva Idagam Sarvam will fit. Therefore, Gayatri Padasya Vachyartyaha Chandaha Meter, Gayatri Padasya Lakshyartaha Brahman. So Vachyartha literal meaning is Chandas Meter. And Lakshyartha implied meaning is Brahman. And then comes the final question of Purvapakshi. He says, when you take a secondary meaning, you have to apply a rule. That is, secondary meaning should be closely connected to the primary meaning. That is what his rule he says. So Lakshyartha, the secondary meaning, implied meaning, should be connected with the Vachyartha, the primary meaning, literal meaning. So technically it is called what? Sakyam Sambande Lakshana. This is another Lakshana. Sakya Sambande Lakshana. Sakya means primary meaning. Lakshana means secondary meaning. Sambandha means the close connection. So Sakya Sambande Lakshana. So Vachyartha of Gayatri is meter, literal meaning. Lakshyartha of Gayatri is Brahman. And what is the connection between Gayatri and Brahman? Shankaracharya says, no problem at all. Brahman is connected with everything in creation. When you say Gayatri is Brahman, Brahman is connected with everything in creation. That we are going to see. There's another very interesting sutra we are going to come across later. Tadan yatvam arambana shabda dibhyaha. Very important adhikarana we are going to see later. There we will see that Brahman is the cause of everything. And everything is only karyam, an effect of Brahman. Therefore, everything is connected with Brahman. How? Karya, karana, rupena. The effect and cause in that form, everything is connected to Brahman. Therefore, Gayatri is karyam of Brahman. And Brahman is the karanam. And because Brahman is karanam, Brahman is sarva anugatam. Inherent in everything. You can invoke Brahman through anything. So Karya Gayatri Dwara Karanam Brahma Upasyate. Karya Ganga Dwara Karanam Brahma Upasyate. Yadyad Vibhuti Matsatvam Srimad Urjidava Memava Tatta Deva Pagachatvam Mama Tejomsha Sambhavam. Krishna said, we can take anything and meditate upon Brahman through that as alambanam, as symbol. That is why in Sanatana Dharma, or loosely Hinduism being called today, we don't have infinite gods, but we have infinite forms symbolizing one God. We don't have infinite gods, we have infinite forms symbolizing one God. This is the essence of this sutra. And the sutra is in three parts. The first part is the Purvapakshi part, and the second part is the Siddhanta part. And the 12th section is talking about the Gayatri meter only, but Siddhanti says he talks about Brahman through Gayatri. That is the Siddhanta part. And the third final part of the sutra, the example is where Vyasacharya says, we have many examples like this, invoking Brahman through Vedic mantras. It is very common. Right from Taittiriya Upanishad, Sikshavalli, we have seen this earlier. There are several Vyahriti mantras through which Brahman is invoked. For example, Bhuritiva ayam lokaha, Bhuvagityantariksham, Bhuvarityasau lokaha, Mahitya adityaha, Aditya navava sarve loka mahiyante. Through Vyahriti mantra, Bhuhu Bhuvaha Subaha. Vyahriti mantra, Upasana is talked about. Similarly, through Gayatri mantra, it is Gayatri Alambanaka Brahma Upasana it is. So we worship Brahman through Gayatri mantra. Similarly, Ganga Puja is Brahma Puja only through Ganga. Swami Dhyanasar very nicely says, Hindus are not idol worshippers. It is idol Alambanaka Ishwara Puja. It is only Ishwara Puja only using idols as an Alambanam symbol. So this is the general analysis. Now we will go to the word analysis. Word is what first? Chandobidhanat na. These are two words we have to see together. Chandobidhanat na. And these two words relate to what? The Purvapakshi's portion, his objection. Iti chet, suppose somebody says like that, such a Purvapaksha question is raised. Then comes the Siddhanta. Na. So iti chet na. Chandobidhanat na. So iti chet na tatha chet chetorpana nigadat. This is Siddhanta. This chetorpana is an easy word only, but we will see the meaning later. This is Siddhanta. And the last part is tatha hi darshanam. The example, darshanam, is in support of Siddhanta. We have to see that. So we will take one by one. Now chandobidhanate. Chandobidhanat means chandaha. Chandaha means Vedic meter. And abhidhanat means mention. Statement, mentioning that. So because of the statement of a Vedic meter, where by the word Gayatri in the previous section, 12th section of Chandogya, that is the Purvapakshi's argument. So because of that, what is the conclusion? Conclusion is na, not. Not means what we just not, we should not understand. We should not what that not. We have to supply two words to understand what that no is. Purva Prakarana Upasyam, the object of meditation in the previous section. And we have to also supply another word, Brahma. So the final sentence will be what? Chantobidhanate, Purva Prakarana Upasyam, Purva Prakarana Upasyam, na Brahma. Because of the mention of a Vedic meter Gayatri, the Upasyam, the previous one, is not, is na Brahma. That is his objection. This is Purvapakshi, we are still with Purvapakshi. Now the object of meditation in previous section is not Brahman. That is the summary. Now the Purvapakshi part of the sutra is what? His question. Why Gayatri for meditating upon Brahman when it is just only a meter? Iti chet. Suppose somebody says like that, such an argument is given. Then comes Siddhanta. What he says, Siddhanti, second part of the sutra reveals it. What is the answer to the Purvapakshi? Second na, there is another na, that is negation by Siddhantis. What is the negation? Previous section dealt with Gayatri Chandaha. We supply Purva Prakarana Upasyam na, change the object of meditation. It is not a Vedic meter as you claim, tatha, through Gayatri symbol, it is not a Vedic meter. And Siddhanti says, Gayatri is only an alambanam. And the Upasyam is Brahma. Upasya means Upasya Devata is Brahma. We should not say Devata, Brahma. Upasim is Brahma. So Gayatri, Chandam, Alambanena. using the Gayatri Chandaha meter as the avalambanam, Chetorpana Nigadat. Chetorpanam is a big word. It's not a big, it's a simple word only. Chetorpanam means upasana only it is. That is, it is Brahma upasana. Chetorpanam is Chetaha means mind. Arpanam means fixing. So fixing the mind means what? It's upasana. So word Brahma we have to supply. Nigata because of the mention. So the final meaning is what? Because of the mention of upasana, Chetorpanam, Gayatri should not be taken as upasyam, but as alambanam. Gayatri chanda chandaha, Gayatri chanda alambanenam, Brahma upasana vidhanam. Brahma upasana is prescribed through the symbol of Vedic meter. So do upasana of Brahman through Vedic meter Gayatri. And the next word is what? Tatha. Such a meditation. So Veda mantra dwara Brahma upasanani, using Veda mantras doing Brahma upasana. Here the word he is there. He means it's a widely popular, that's what it means, emphasis. And darshanam. Darshanam means such upasana is seen in the Upanishads. In Sikshavalli, Vyakriti mantras are taken as alambanam for Brahma upasanas. In some cases, even Vedic letters are taken as symbols for upasana, Brahma upasana. Vedic letters, Vedic words, Vedic meters, Vedic sentences, they are all taken as alambanam, symbol for Vedic upasana. There are subtle upasanas, but they are all taken. We have seen these various upasanas in Taittiriya Upanishad Sikshavalli. Elaborately, we have seen many times. Please refer to those lectures. They are also nice in the site. So in the olden days, people did Veda Adhyayana. Why these things are used as symbols of alambanams? The reason is, those days, everybody did Veda Adhyayana. And students' mind was soaked in Vedic mantras. And it was possible to take such mantras or Vedic letters as symbol for doing Vedic upasanas because it is very familiar to them. Everybody learned the Vedas. As I told, all these Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, all of them learned Vedas. Of course, to different extents. And Rigvedians, they meditate on Ishvara Rupa Rig Mantra. Ishvara upon Rig Mantras. Rigvedians used to meditate upon. And Rig Mantra can serve as alambanam for any upasana. And Gayatri is common to all Vedas. And hence, Gayatri is taken as symbol for Brahma upasana. So it is very common. Now we go to the next mantra of this Adhikaranam, 26th mantra. Let us read the mantra. Bhutadi padam vyapadeshopapatyescha ivam. Evam. So the main discussion is here what? 13th section of the third chapter of Chandogya Upanishad. Again, that is the Vishaya Vakyam is from there. Shruti Vakyam. And we establish the Jyoti mentioned there refers to Brahman and not Gayatri. And here, he gives one more reason in support of the above conclusion. And that is what? Purva Prakarana Upasyam Na Gayatri Chandaha. The upasyam of the previous section is not Gayatri meter. The object of meditation of the previous section means what? Previous 12th section. We should not forget that. 12, 13, 14 sections we are talking about. So 12th section is Gayatri, is not a Vedic meter through the Gayatri symbol. In the previous section, Chandogya Upanishad makes a statement that Gayatri has got four padas. Therefore, Acharya argues here, if it refers to Vedic meter, and in that section it's a Chaturpad Gayatri, if it is only Vedic meter, how many padas it should have? It should have only three padas. According to Mahanarayana Upanishad, Tripada Gayatri, only three padas. Whereas Chandogya Upanishad says what? Chaturpad, four padas are there. And once you say Gayatri has got four padas, the question will be what are the four padas? In the same Upanishad, four padas of Gayatri is mentioned in that in 12th section. And what are those? Number one, Bhutani. We saw this mantra earlier. Bhutani, I am only enumerating them. Bhutani means all living beings of the creation, number one. Second pada is Prithivi, the whole earth. And the third pada is shariram. Shariram here means the physical body. And the fourth pada is hridayam. Hridayam means the heart. So this particular mantra is based on Samaveda, because this is from Chandogya. So from this, it is clear Gayatri refers to Brahman or Sarvatmakam Brahman. Since four quarters encompass the whole universe, the macrocosm and microcosm, the whole thing put together is said as Gayatri. If it is a meter, how the whole world could be talked about there? Therefore, Gayatri refers not to a Vedic meter, but to Brahman alone. And we should make a note here. The 12th section of Chandogya Upanishad states Gayatri has four padas. And the very same guy, Chandogya Upanishad, gives another explanation by quoting a Rig Mantra also. But it says, Tavanasya Mahimam, Tatojayagischa Purushaham, Padosya Sarva Bhutani, Tripadasyamritam Diviti. The other three padas are beyond the creation. So there are two explanations now. One is based on Samaveda, and the other is based on Rig Veda. Whatever may be the explanation, the conclusion is what? Sarvam Khalu Idam Brahma. Everything is Brahma. So final conclusion is what? Gayatri refers to Brahman only. And here Vyasacharya takes the Samaveda based explanation. That is Bhutadi Padam Vyapadesham Upapatyescha from this sutra. That is sutra he has put. Bhutadi Pada Vyapadesham Upapatyescha. Because four padas are mentioned here, all beings, earth, shariram, stula shariram, and hridayam. Hridayam represents the sukshma shariram, subtle body, all of them together. So now we will enter the word analysis. This is the general analysis. The sutra contains three words. Bhutadi, padam, yapadesham, upapattehe. This entire thing is one word. It's a complex word. And then cha. Then evam. All these three are there. Bhutadi, pada, vyapadesha, upapattehe. Bhuta here means what? All living beings. All moving and non-moving things. All beings. From all lokas. Not just this loka, all the 14 lokas. Adi. Adi means etc. Bhutadi means beings, all these beings, etc. And the three other padas are this bhuta prithivi, sharira, hridayani. The earth, Bhuta Prithvi, the one of the elements, Prithvi, earth. And the body, Shariram, Stula Shariram, and the heart, the subtle body. So Pada, this is the four parts. So Vyapadesha Upapattehe means because of the mention of that. So the final meaning is what? Because of the mention of living beings, etc., Bhutadi, as the four quarters of Gayatri, that is the meaning. Then the next word is Cha. Cha means also. So because of this reason also, then evam. Evam means the same conclusion, namely, purva prakaranam upasyam na gayatri chandaha bhutadi pada vyavadesha upapattescha. That is how we connect both of them. The world cannot become the parts of Vedic meter, whereas world can become part of only Brahman. Therefore, Brahman is the object of meditation. With this, the third sutra is also of the 10th Adhikaranam, that is also now over. Now we have to go to the fourth sutra. So, Upadesha Bedat Neti Chet Na Ubayasmin Api Avirodhat. That is the sutra. Upadesha Bedat Neti Chet Na Ubayasmin Api Avirodhat. Now we get into a grammatical discussion slightly here in this sutra. First, let us do the general analysis. We should note how we have been developing the whole Adhikarana. First, we analyze the 12th section of Chandogya and establish what we established there. Gayatri is Brahma. Then we came to the 13th section and established that the word Jyotihi talks of the same Gayatri Brahma only. Therefore, Jyoti also deals with Brahman only in a roundabout method, even though it is not directly said in 13th section. Now the question is, how do you know The topic of the 13th and 12th sections are one and the same. For this, we give several reasons. One, among various reasons, one particular reason we should take up here. The reason was the word Divi, Div means refers to Swarga Loka, that is repeated in both the sections. In the 13th section also it is said, in the 12th section also it is said. In the 12th section what it says, Tavanasya Mahima, Tato Jayagascha Purushaham, Padosya Sarva Bhutani, Tripadasya Amritam Divi Iti. So the mantra contains the word Divi. Divi means what? Swarga Loka, in the heavens. Divi means in the heavens. Now we come to the next mantra, next section of the same Upanishad. What that mantra says? Yat adataha paraha divo jyotihi. So there it was Divi. Here it is divo jyotihi, divaha jyotihi. Here also we see the word Divi to indicate the Swargaloka only. So Divi and divaha. Now our argument is what? Because of the common word occurring in both the sections, the object of meditation must be the same. And thus the topic is Swarga Loka is common to both the sections, which are the two sections, 12th section and 13th section. In Sanskrit, this is called Pratyabhijnana, reminding, a word reminding a particular topic. In both the places, we are reminded of the Brahma Upasana. Therefore, Loka Sambandha Pratyabhijnanam is an argument used to indicate that Brahma Upasana is common. What Loka Sambandha? Swarga Loka Sambandha. So Brahma Upasana is common in both. Based on this argument, the Purva Pakshi is raising an objection. What does he say? He says, you cannot say the same word is repeated in both the sections. Why? He gives an argument. In the 12th section, the word mentioned is Divi. Whereas in 13th section, it is Divo, that is Divaha. Grammatically speaking, the 12th section uses the 7th case, locative case. Whereas 13th section uses Panchami Vibhakti. Divaha, paraha means the 5th case. Therefore, in Vakaranta Strilingaha, Div Shabdaha, so Dyauhum, Divau, Divaha, Divam, Divau, Divaha, so that is how it is. So since the cases are different, therefore the topic also must be different. That is Purva Pakshi's argument. The cases are different, so the topic also must be different. Then the Siddhanti says, Ubayasmin apim avirodat. Even though the cases are different, Ubayasmin api, in both of them, still the topic is the same. That is the argument of Siddhanti. In English, we may say prepositions. Prepositions are different. Here we are saying cases. There we can say prepositions are different. In the 12th section, it is in or on the heaven. Divi means in the heaven or on the heaven. And in the 30th section, it is divaha, means beyond the heavens. And how can the topic be the same is their argument. In one case, it is in or on the heaven. In another one, it is beyond the heaven. How they can be same? Now, Shankaracharya and Vasacharya both answer that in certain times, different cases have different meanings. But in certain other contexts, in Sanskrit, different cases are different prepositions or case endings convey same meaning. For example, the third case and fifth case, they convey different meanings. Third case means by means of, and fifth case is from. For example, if you take an example, padabhyam agachati, by means of 2 feet, one comes. Padabhyam agachati. Here by means of, means what? By the instrument of the legs. And if we take Gramat agachati, person is coming from a village. So coming from village, Gramat agachati. By means of the 2 feet, he is coming from a village. So here the case is different. Fifth case from, third case instrument. But there are certain contexts where both give same meaning. For example, jnanat mokshaha. Jnanat mokshaha, here it is fifth case. And jnanena mokshaha, third case. So the fifth case also and the third case also, both of them convey the same meaning on account of hetvarthe, because of the hetu, on account of, because of knowledge moksha. A person gets moksha because of knowledge. That is the same meaning given by both. This is Sanskrit grammar. Now, for example, worldly wise, if you want to take in English also, certain prepositions convey the meaning of other prepositions also. For example, if you want to say the college or the something, the hotel or something else is on the river, or the capital of the country is on the river. Here, on means nearby the river or off the river, OFF, off the river or beyond the river. The preposition is on, but the meaning is near or beyond. In Sanskrit, it is called Samipya Saptami. Use the preposition on to convey beyond. Similarly, the word Divi, the seventh case in 12th section, does not convey location, but conveys beyond the heavens. So here also Divaha, Paraha, only beyond heavens. Therefore, in the 13th section also, it is Divaha, Paraha. There is no problem between 12th and 13th section. This is a little a grammatical thing. We don't have to worry about it. But I just only wanted to mention how people are arguing on all these things. So Ubayasmin api avirodat. Nobody need to be carried away by the grammar part of it right now. So in the 7th case also and the 5th case also, no contradiction. That is the conclusion Acharya makes. Therefore, in the heaven means beyond the heavens. And another example is when I say, for example, the clock is over the table. It is located on the table. That's what it means. When we say clock is over the table, it is located on the table. Suppose I say the boy jumped over the table. Jumped over the table means what? Jumped beyond the table. So in all languages, prepositions have different meanings. Cases have got also certain times common meaning, sometimes different meanings. Therefore, Divi and Divaha should not bother you. It is essentially to don't make a big fuss out of it. Don't make a big deal out of it. That's what he's trying to tell. This is one argument. And the second argument is, when we talk about repetition of the same word, we only talk about the repetition of the word, not the cases. But behind the preposition, we see whether the word is repeated or same or not. That's what we are seeing. Repetition of word is enough to communicate that the topic is same. That is the stand Acharya has taken. Repetition of word is enough to communicate that the topic is same. We don't require the repetition of case endings also or prepositions also. So prakriti, the word is common, even though the pratyaya, the prepositions are not. So prakriti yoho aikyam pratyaya bede abhi. Even if there is pratyaya beda, prakriti yoho aikyam is enough. If they are same. Therefore, the object of meditation is the same Brahman. In both the cases, it is Brahman only is the object of meditation. Both in the 12th section and 13th section. This is the general analysis of this thing. So don't worry too much about all the grammar part of it and all. Just only I wanted to let you know that people take all this Vyakarana and all these things are taken enormously when they do deal with Brahmasutras. Now we will go to the word analysis. The words are what here? Upadesha bedat na iti chet na ubayasmin api avirodat. There are 8 words. Upadesha Vedat 1, Na 2, Iti 3, Chet 4, Na 5, Ubayasmin 6, Api 7, Avirodat 8. And of these, the first two are Purvapakshi's words. Upadesha Vedat Na. We have to supply 2 words also to complete the Purvapakshi. Namely, we already told Purva Prakaranam Upasya. The object of meditation in the previous 12th section of Chandogya, chapter section 3. Third chapter, sorry, chapter 3 of Chandogya. And the word Brahma we should add. So what would be the Purvapakshi's anumanam now? Purva Prakarana Upasyam Na Brahma Upadesha Vedat. That is his objection. The objection of meditation, of the object of meditation of the previous section is not Brahman. That is his statement, Purvapakshi's statement. And he gives the reason, Upadesha Vedat, because the words are different in both the sections. And Upadeshaha means the words, Upadishyate iti Upadeshaha, karma vitpatti. So the words prescribed are Vedat, means difference. Now we will take the word Upadesha Vedat, means Upadesha means the Vedic words, Vedat means being different, Vedam. When the Purvapakshi says words being different, he means Divi of the 12th section and Divaha of the 13th section, they are different. So Divi, Diva, Iti, Pada, Dvayam, two Padas are there, so they are different. How? Both refer to heaven only. Purvapakshi is not talking of the word, but the case endings are prepositions. So Saptami Pada, Panjami Pada, Vedat. That is his 7th case and 5th case. And because of prepositional difference, not referring to Brahman, Upadesha Vedat. And the next word is Na. Na means not. You should not be connected. It should be connected is what? To this supplied word here. Supplied word is what? Brahman. Therefore, Na Brahman. Na Brahman, it is not Brahman. Actually, the Brahma word is not the sutra. We have to supply. How can we supply? Only Acharya can supply. Because we wouldn't know the context, we wouldn't know how to supply, because we are supplying a new word. So Acharya supplies in the Bhashyam. So it's na Brahma. It is not Brahma. Up to this is Purvapakshi's argument. Then comes Iti Chet. If such an argument is given by the Purvapakshi, Iti Chet, then comes Siddhanta. Na Ubayasmin Api Avirodat. Here also we have to supply three words. Purva Prakritam Upasyam Na Brahma Iti na. In the Purvapakshi's na, Purvapakshi na sadhu. Sadhu means Purvapakshi's argument is not true. Na sadhu. This is the first word of Siddhanta, na. Then the next word is Ubayasmin api. In both usages, prayoga dvaye api, even though there are two prayogas, prayoga dvaye api, Ubayasmin api, what is in his mind? When he says this, Saptami Vibhakti, Panchami Vibhakti, Dvaya Prayoga Api, even in the 7th case and 5th case difference also, even the propositions are different, Avirodat, no contradictions at all, because the ideas are same. And incidentally, we have to note here, there is this mantra, Tavanasya Mahima Tado Jayakasya Purushaha, Padasya Sarva Bhutani, Tripadasya Mritam Divi. In that mantra, the second half of this Rigveda mantra says, all the things and beings are one quarter of Brahman. And then the other three quarters are in heaven. That means what? Here the commentators conclude that the word Divi literally means in the heavens, but one should not take it in that sense. Why? Because in the previous line it is said, Asya Vishwam Bhutani Padaha. All these things are, and beings are only one quarter. The entire universe is only one quarter. So when you say all the things and beings, the word all means what? All, everything inclusive. Therefore, it should include not only things and beings of Bhuloka, but in all the 14 lokas. Therefore, the entire Saguna Prapancha, that will include the Swargaloka also. Suppose the word Divi is taken in the heaven, you know where we are coming from now. If the word Divi is taken in the heaven, there will be a problem of repetition because it is included in the word all. When you say all, Swarga is not separate. It is included in all. Therefore, the word Divi should not be taken as being in the heaven, but it should be taken as beyond heaven. It is beyond Sagunam Brahman. And it is but Nirgunam Brahman only it should be. This is beyond Ihaloka and Paraloka. This is our argument. Thus, there is no contradiction. So with this, the 27th mantra, the 10th Adhikaranam is also over. Now we will see the summary of the Adhikaranam. This is unique Adhikaranam because we give a set of reasons and we make two conclusions here. First conclusion is what? With regard to the first section, 12th section. And the other one is the 13th section of 3rd chapter of Chandogya. The first one talks about Gayatri Brahma. And the word Gayatri used in the 12th section does not refer to Gayatri meter or mantra, but refers to Brahman. And we come to another conclusion based on the 13th section. Jyoti is Brahman. That means Jyotihi occurring in the 13th section is Brahma. For both conclusions, the reasons are the same. Three reasons are given, and we see one each in the three sutras. This particular Adhikaranam has got in each of the sutras one reason we saw. And we have to read the three sutras twice because we come to two different conclusions. First time Gayatri Brahma, Charanabhidhanat, the Bhutadi Pata Vyapadesha Upavateshcham Evam. And conclusion is Gayatri is Brahma, first one. First time. Then we have to read the same thing again. Second time, Gayatri Abhinnam Jyotihi Brahma, Charanabhidhanat. Again, Charanabhidhanat. Gayatri, Charanabhidhanat means the pathas, the quarters. So Gayatri Abhinnam Jyotihi is also Brahma, Charanabhidhanat. Then you repeat the mantra. So the conclusion is what? The same with set of two reasons. And here we take the reasons from the 12th section and we apply to the reason for the conclusion in the 13th section. And this is the uniqueness of this Adhikarana. You take their proof, the reason from the previous section and apply to the next section. It is because in the 13th section, we don't have the direct supporting reason. And therefore we borrow this from the 12th section. It is permitted in Vedic parlance. Therefore, it appears to be a confusing Adhikaranam though. And now the next time we come to the technical format of fitting this Adhikaranam. So using the definition of the Adhikaranam. Vishayo Vishayaschaiva Purva Pakshastadottaram Sangadischeti Panchangam Shastra Adhikaranam Spritam. That is the shloka we said to define an Adhikaranam. And we have to know Vishayaha means the subject matter. The subject matter in this Adhikaranam is what? The word Jyotihi occurring in the 13th section of Chandogya. And Vishayaha means Samshayaha, the doubt. Doubt is what? We have to tell about the doubt. Without doubt, the topic will not be included in Brahma Sutras. That is one thing we should understand clearly. If some Shruti Vakyam, Upanishad Vakyam is going to be discussed in Brahma Sutra, means there should be an element of doubt in that. Otherwise, there is no discussion. If it is not a confusing topic, it will not find a place in Brahma Sutras. Therefore, the doubt here is what? Jyoti is it Chetana Vastu or Achetana Vastu? Whether it refers to worldly light or refers to the Chetana Jyoti, the consciousness principle. Because we find both meanings are given here. We should not take the Jyoti as Karya Jyoti, but take it as Brahma Jyoti. And the Purva Paksha takes it as Achetana Jyoti or Aditya Jyoti, because that is the primary and known meaning. And then comes the Siddhanta and he says, Jyoti is Brahma. And we talk about Saguna Brahman only. And Sankhya does not believe in Ishvara. And therefore we have to establish Ishvara. Because understand, all these sutras are meant for Khandanam of Sankhyas. And because of the three reasons, we conclude that Jyoti is Brahma. And because of the same reason, the word Gayatri is also Brahma, which is an incidental conclusion. As we said, we will not go to the Sangati because we already mentioned Sangati is too technical. And it is only to make sure that the sutra is in the right place, in the right section, in the, all that thing, the right adhikar, all that thing. So we only take it that it comes in the appropriate position of Brahma Sutra only. That is the only statement we will make without going into the detail of Sangati, as I mentioned earlier. So with this, the sutra also fits into, the Adhikaranam also fit into the definition of the Adhikaranam as we saw all the time. Maybe before taking this, 1129, okay. So before taking the next sutra, I will stop here. Yo vedadau swara prokto vedante cha pratishtitaha tasya prakriti lina seya parasa maheshwaraha sri krishna arpanamastu purnamada purnamidam purnat purnamudachyate purnasya purnamadaya purnamevavasishyate. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti.